This episode of the Beauté Industry Podcast was brought to you by Timely, the world's smartest appointment booking software helping beauty and wellness businesses better manage their time, sanity, and ability to generate revenue. Hello and welcome to the Beauté Industry Podcast, your online support community for the professional beauty industry. I am your host, founding director of Beauté Industry, Tamara Reid. Here, we are closing the competitive gap and speaking your language. This is a platform created and dedicated to the professional beauty industry, valuing community over competition. We serve to help connect you with inspiration from industry experts, expand your knowledge through educational pieces, and bring you the latest in product and technology innovation. This is Beauté Industry. Today's guest is Gay Wardle from none other than Gay Wardle Education. Featuring for the second time on the podcast today, Gay and I explore the topic of stress and the way in which it affects the skin and the body. Gay so generously steps out of the treatment room and away from her clients on a busy morning to have this conversation with me today, answering all of your questions that you asked in our Facebook community. This is a seriously mind-blowing episode which travels through the cellular cascade of stress, signs on the body we can identify with the stress response, immunity, nervous, spinal, digestion, and hormonal triggers from being stressed, and finishes up talking about ingredients that can be both topically and internally to manage and reduce the severity. Here is the legendary Gay Wardle.
Thank you for having me, Tamara. I always love chatting with you.
Oh, likewise.
Just really appreciate what you do. So thank you, honey.
Oh, thank you so much. Gay, we had so many people comment on our Facebook group when I said, I'm going to chat to Gay Wardle about stress. What do you want to know? And the questions were flooding in thick and fast. So let's just start all the way back at the start. When we look at stress, what cells are responsible for actually causing stress in the skin?
Okay, so there are actually so many different cells that are affected by stress. So it is a roller coaster, it's a domino effect. But you know, cells respond to stress in many, many different ways. And it's ranging from activation of pathways that promote survival to eliciting program cell death that eliminates damaged cells. And the cell's initial response to a stressful stimulus is geared towards helping the cell to defend against the recovery from an insult. So when we have stress in our bodies and things like that, these cells actually help to respond so that we can get over that. It helps to stop our immunity from being affected and everything else that goes on when we have stress in our bodies. One of the things that it does, though, it creates inflammation in demyelination. So myelin is formed around the central nervous system, so the brain, the spinal cord, and the optic nerve, as well as the peripheral nervous system. So, you know, stress and the nervous system, like, you know, obviously, the nervous system is really affected when we have stress. It's a hormonal reaction, but it's the nerve cells that are affected by that. So continuous stress has a huge impact on the nervous system, and this impacts the cells of the immune system. So you've got the cells in the nervous system, you've got the cells in the immune system as well, and then you've got your hormones that are racing around. So in short spurts, you know, we need to have cortisol. So cortisol keeps us healthy, and that's really important because in these short spurts of cortisol, that actually increases our immune system. But when we have prolonged spurts of stress, that actually depletes it. So, but over time, your body can get used to having too much cortisol in your blood, and that's where we get this, you know, we kind of learn to live with the stresses that we have, and it's creating all this damage that we don't know until we get older and what's actually going on inside. So when this happens, stress decreases the body's lymphocytes, the white blood cells that help fight off infection. The lower your lymphocyte level is, the more risk you are for having viral infections and other infections and things like that. So people often will get cold sores, or they might have the shingles virus and things like that when they actually are very, very stressed. So high stress levels also can cause depression and anxiety, and we're seeing so much and hearing so much about that at the moment. And again, leading to high levels of inflammation within the body itself. So in long term, sustained high levels of inflammation point to an overworked, overtired immune system that can't properly protect you, and the end of it, your skin will suffer from that. So it's a combination of immune cells, it's a combination of nerve cells, you know, it's a combination of hormones, and so many cells have an impact when we have stress, and it depends on the levels of stress that we have.
Yeah, right. Oh my goodness. So it's like spinal, brain, nerves, immune, hormones.
All of that. All of that. So just go to bed and stay there for a while.
That's so funny. Oh my goodness. Okay. And interesting what you said about in short bursts, cortisol actually keeps us healthy because it increases the immune system. That's right. Over long periods of time, does it start to decrease the immune system?
Absolutely. So when we have too much stress, then there's a combination of a whole host of different things that happen within the body. So, you know, stress are caused by hormones. You know, it's a hormonal reaction. But when we have too much of this, you know, you have the denaturation of the myelin around your nerve cells, and that just, you know, that just affects everything that goes on within our body. And that prolonged stress creates, you know, we see so many things, and we see people that have gone through periods of stress long term, you know, maybe they've lost a loved one or, you know, whatever might be happening in their life, and they age and they get these rashes, and yeah, it's devastating to see people go through that. But if they can turn that around, because stress is something, unlike anxiety and depression, stress is something that if we can or have the ability to, we can change that stress levels. But I think people get used to it, so that's their life. And what it's doing internally is devastating.
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, even from 10 years ago, we're all living a more busy, stressful lifestyle, and it's almost cool to say how busy you are these days. Interesting that you said before cold sores, if you present, you know, with a highly stressful lifestyle, what else are we likely to see on the skin in someone who is so severely stressed?
So the constant increased release of adrenaline and other stress hormones over time, and these can negatively impact our skins. So long-term stress suppresses the immune system, like I just mentioned before. It also has an impact on our organs, and our skin is an organ, so it has a huge impact on our skin, and this makes us more susceptible to infections. So when you look at the immune system, you have to consider the immunity of the barrier function, which is the skin that stops things from getting in and, you know, keeps us healthy. So when that is actually broken because there's infection there, then, you know, you have more infection, more cell, more bacteria that can get in there. So acne is a common condition that we see when people who are stressed, you know, and then you have exacerbate conditions like eczema, you have psoriasis, atopic dermatitis, and we see a lot of that. You know, we see a lot of people with eczema and things like that. And you can, sure, that some of those things can be genetic, but, you know, when you really look at the person themselves, a lot of it has been caused by something that they've been through, and then they have this condition that keeps, you know, getting worse over the time. Or they become, you know, they can completely take over. I've seen psoriasis, I'm sure you have as well, and eczema, where it's over probably a good 50% of the body, and it's devastating. So alopecia, hair loss, has been related to stress, and as is autoimmune diseases as well. So diabetes, you know, like we think about diabetes, and there's lots of reasons why people get diabetes. Do you know, there's actually not one study that will say why we get diabetes. We understand the mechanism of it, but I can't find any research papers, and I'd love if someone had something to share it with me, but there's nothing to say that actually gives us a reason why we get it. But there's these things that lead up to that, and then someone will have it, you know, stress, and they have end up with diabetes. Mm-hmm. The other thing is like aging skin, loss of skin integrity. You know, like we have to think about the integrity of skin. I think this is one thing as a clinician that we have to be aware of, because if we're treating people that are stressed, we need to really understand the integrity of the skin. How is it going to survive what we're doing to it? And then pigmentation, erythema, you know, are all very much part of stress-related symptoms that we see on the skin. So our skin, hair and nails are the lowest importance for our survival. You know, like when we eat something, you know, what the nutrients that we take in, the skin isn't a priority, the hair's not a priority, and our nails aren't a priority. So at times, you know, stress, really valuable vitamins, you know, and minerals are prioritized for other bodies, for our body's other vital organs, and skin's the last place to get that to that sort of nutrient. So skin is an external barometer of what is happening internally. So often what we see on the skin, whether it be rashy or whether it be, you know, acne, aging or whatever, hyperkeratinization, it's all because of what's going on inside, and stress is a huge contributor to that. So consistently elevated levels of cortisol is catabolical to the body, meaning we are breaking down and failing to repair tissue. Mm. So that we won't have wound repair. We don't have that lovely collagen and elastin. So we lose collagen and elastin, both of which are vital for wound repair, and stress depletes that. So
we've got acne, we've got dermatitis, psoriasis, eczema, pigmentation, aging. We've got an impaired barrier function. All of this, yeah, exactly. All of this presenting on the face when we're stressed, but it can also present on the body when we're stressed too.
Yeah, absolutely. The skin, you know, when we, I guess in our world, we kind of look at the skin from the décolletage up. That's kind of, you know, what we look at. But, you know, like when we're doing a consultation, we really do need to have a look at other parts of the body. We do need to have a look at the legs, the, you know, the arms, their body itself, the trunk of their body, their hands, because it'll tell you so many different things. And where there is unsustained long-term stress, you can also develop cardiovascular problems. So there's these other internal things that actually happen as well. So including a fast heart rate and heart disease, as well as gastric ulcers. So, you know, we haven't even talked about the digestive system, but, you know, that's highly impacted by stress. And you'll also be at greater risk for diabetes, as we've already mentioned. And then there's cancers. And then there's the mental health. You know, like your mental health starts to decline. So the autonomic nervous system and the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis are the two major systems that respond to stress. The SEMPA adrenal medulla axis, I've got to get my tongue around those words sometimes, axis may activate the fight or flight response through the sympathetic nervous system, which dedicates energy to more relevant bodily systems to acute adaptation to stress. So while the parasympathetic nervous system returns the body to homeostasis, if we have stress, we don't get that return to homeostasis, you know, as quickly as we should. And homeostasis, getting through that negative feedback and returning back, is so important so that we actually can survive. So if these mechanisms are altered through stress, memory functions will alter, the immune function, metabolism will be altered as well, and the body is susceptible to disease. So severe stress remains a common risk factor for several mental illnesses. Sleep patterns, you know, sleep is major, and people that are highly stressed, they don't have healthy sleep at night or whenever they lie down to rest. So, you know, think about how many times you've been worried about something and what sort of night you're going to have. You know, it's just, it's a catastrophe when you think about what's going on. But all of that is just changing how our body functions, and yet we'll see it on the skin everywhere.
Which is just so crazy, because even when, like, you talk about, you know, dermatitis and psoriasis and eczema and barrier, you think about, you know, your lack of wound healing repair, You also think about, when you're stressed, the shallow breathing that you have, which can then obviously really greatly impact the organs. And we know that the skin needs oxygen. Then maybe because we are so stressed, we're not eating properly, which then we're not fueling our body properly, which then obviously if we're eating on the run because we're so busy and so stressed and we just want a quick sugar hit to get us through to the next appointment, well, then we start to feel depressed and anxious. And it's just like this big vicious circle where, as you said, it's like the skin, hair and nails are the last place that any of those, if you're getting them, vital nutrients are actually getting to that place.
Absolutely, Tamara. You're so right with that, honey, because, like, you know, one of the things that is highly affected by stress is our gut. So people often, two things can happen. They can either not eat because their nervous system is so, you know, disrupted, so they don't eat, or they will reach out for sugary things to try and fill a need that they have. And then, you know, like, if the nervous system is affecting the gut, which it does, then they'll have constipation or they'll have diarrhea. So what you're just saying is that when they do eat, that absorption of food is pretty well not going to happen. Like, we don't get that healthy absorption of nutrients. In fact, we probably have, you know, end up with things like leaky gut syndrome and stuff like that, where, you know, the food, instead of breaking down and the nutrients passing out into blood, we have these food particles that are passing out into the blood. And, you know, like, people that start that bandwagon of eating sugar and things like that when they're stressed because it's comfort eating, it just keeps them going. It just spirals, because that bacteria then is going, give me more, feed me. So it's just screaming out for that. So we have this horrible vicious circle of, you know, how the gut is going to relate to that, you know, that stress, and then the inflammation that's caused by that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is probably too much information, but I know when I'm stressed, food just passes through me and I can't keep anything down. So then even if I do eat something healthy, I know that it's not being retained in my body, or definitely not being delivered in my skin. I want to ask you, with the effect of adrenal and also, you know, chronic fatigue, obviously, when we've had such an adrenal response and we're just always running on 12 out of 10 and we're just exhausting the body, when then the immunity does start to kick in and the immune system tries to fight that, what actually happens? Because as you said before, the wound healing is slowed down. So we can't, you know, heal from a cut or heal from an abrasion as fast. What's the immune trying to do? Is it trying to fight off that response that's external, or is it trying to survive the internal stress that's going on?
One thing, it does try to survive, but then it's overpowered by inflammation within the body. So as much as it tries to heal, then it's just not capable of doing that.
After the break, Gay and I chat about the effect of stress and chronic fatigue, high blood pressure and menopause. But first, a word from today's Beauté partner. Community, you know all too well how pro I am about all things online booking and working smarter, not harder, in 2020, and our friends at Timely help you to do just that. Timely is a powerful booking and business management software for businesses of any size and ambition. Designed to help you save hours on admin, deliver exceptional client experience, establish a much-loved brand and grow your revenue with over 500 software updates every year, Timely is always on a mission to help you get the best from your business. Timely works beautifully with Tyro, Xero, QuickBooks, MailChimp, Square, Google Calendar and more, so why not join over 40,000 global Timely customers today? If you've been thinking about making the switch from pen and paper or want to test a new salon software system, visit www.gettimely.com to start a free 14-day trial. The Timely team has an exclusive offer for the listeners of today's episode, where you get 50% off Timely for your first 2 months. It's such an incredible offer, by using the promo code Tamara20. That's Tamara and the number 20. Thank you so much to the team at Timely for making this episode possible. And now back to Gay.
At this point, I'd just like to say that, like, when we do treatments that create inflammation, where we break the skin, like with, you know, break the barrier of the skin, we've got to really understand, is how is that healing point You know, what is that? Are they going to be able to survive that? Are they going to heal within the appropriate times to reduce the scar formation? Because people that have injury when they are stressed are more susceptible to scarring. They will have horrific scars when they're stressed that, you know, they normally would not have happened. But when we're looking at chronic fatigue, you know, the cause of chronic fatigue syndrome, again, is unknown. They don't know what really causes that. And there's variations of chronic fatigue as well. So, but people, some people just have it so bad that they just can't even get out of bed. And they just want to stay in bed, or it's just too hard to even lift their leg to get out of bed. So, and there's many theories of what causes that. But they range from viral infections to psychological stress. And some experts believe that chronic fatigue syndrome might be triggered by a combination of factors of again, stress, but other factors that are happening within their body as well. So the stress might have been a trigger that has actually given the body that final, okay, I can't cope, I can't deal with this, and I need to shut down for a while. So, you know, they're very susceptible to disease. So there's no single test, again. It's like, you know, what... It's very difficult when we're actually looking at hormones. What are we testing for? What time of the day are we testing for, you know, for that? And you can test the same time every day. The theory is if you're going through hormone tests, you have the same test every single day. But what happened to you 10 minutes before that, opposed to what happened 10 minutes the day before that? That's going to have an impact on how those hormones are reacting. And so stress certain has certain impact on the immune system, which has an impact on every single part of our body. So we have inflammation in our bodies due to stress. It is that inflammation is caused because of that. And the endocrine system, the nervous system, have signaling pathways that impact the whole body. So the endocrine system and the nervous system, they work together. You know, if you're upset about something, that will have an impact on how your hormones are going to be signaled through the body and the different types of hormones that are going to signal through the body as well. And likewise, if you have an influx of hormones, that will have an impact on your nervous system. So they bounce off each other. And then that together, that reaction together creates inflammation, and that inflammation to the digestive system. And that's why people, when they do get stressed, they might run to the loo a lot. They might, you know, they can't keep it, like you said, you can't keep anything in, just goes, it just passes straight through you. So the other thing here is that stress affects the digestive system, like I just said. And the food that we eat, like we mentioned before, and like you've said as well, just is not broken down. So you can have a big plate of healthy salad, and you might think you're doing the right thing, but you know, if your body's inflamed because of these two different systems, and then the digestive add into that, then it's not going to do you any good at all. You might as well just go and have a bar of chocolate, because it's the same kind of thing that you're going to have. So when we have prolonged stress, you know, poor diets, like they reach for those sugars and they reach for those things, are often very high on the agenda. And you've got to understand that gut-skin axis is a very strong pathway. With, you know, when the gut bacteria changes, the bacteria on the skin will also change. So because the relation between the two is very strong. So if you have that internal inflammation that's caused by stress and the nervous system as well, then your bacteria changes on your skin. And again, you know, we see all different sorts of things happening. And I think, you know, at the moment we're seeing a lot of people with different rashes that are sometimes unidentifiable. You know, what is that? Where did that come from? How long it's been there? And it's probably because of their life that they're going through. We're all going through that. But, you know, it's probably some people are obviously doing it a lot harder than others, and it's really showing on their skin. So you've got to remember that skin is part of the immune system, very much part of that. And we have these T cells that are immune cells that are living in the barrier function. So these T cells are there to mainly, we think, to educate the bacteria that's living on our skin. So we've got this little school going where these T cells are actually educating this bacteria. But if the immune system is compromised because of all of that, then those T cells aren't going to be able to create that immunity within the skin, within the barrier function as well. So, you know, aging, a lot of pruritus, a lot of itchiness, dry skin. You know, people are having really dry skin at the moment. And we say, you know, like we're coming into spring. So, you know, you and I live in Queensland, so we have more humidity. But, you know, like the dryness and the itchiness is caused by internal. And think about people that are locked up in our, you know, Melbourne and Victoria, where they're not even getting out, you know, being inside all the time. You know, it's just horrendous what is actually happening.
Yeah, completely. And that's where we're seeing a lot of that kind of COVID skin come about and maskne and things like that. I think it's so interesting, the relationship between stress and hormones that you mentioned as well. I remember learning a few years ago that when we are stressed, obviously cortisol levels increase and then the corticotropin releasing hormone increases, and then that increases testosterone. And then obviously we get sweaty palms, smelly odor, increased oil flow, which leads to acne, which gives us more stress. It's just such a vicious cycle. I wanted to ask you, in our Facebook group, a question came up about high blood pressure impacting the way the skin responds. Is there any connection there?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a really good question. So the skin plays a role in helping regulate blood pressure.
Right.
And also the heart rate. So our skin responds to the levels of oxygen in the environment that's all around us, so which influences the blood pressure levels. So the skin helps regulate hypertension and heart rate in response to changes in the amount of oxygen that we have, that we breathe in, that actually is in our environment as well. Now, if we're in conditions where we've got not good airflow, windows are closed, doors are closed, heating, air conditioning, things like that, that will impact the skin. That actually increases your blood pressure.
It wow.
Actually, yeah, the amount of blood. And we see this like on people. Like, if you have a look at people that work indoors in office space and they don't have windows, they can't get outside, you know, they often have loads of erythema on the upper part of their body, because that's where the high blood pressure affects the upper part of the body, not the lower part of the body. So we often see this, and it's basically they're not getting that airflow, they're not getting that oxygen through. So it's really important, if people are working indoors and when we do a consultation, we need to understand their work lifestyle, basically, that, you know, they get outside for at least half an hour to an hour every single day, because they need to get that oxygen around their bodies. So, you know, the skin will have color changes such as pigmentation, you know, vascular matting is more prominent when we have less oxygen flowing around us. And your body produces a surge of hormones when you're in stressful situations. So these hormones temporarily increase your blood pressure by causing your heart to beat faster and your blood vessels to narrow. So the blood vessels narrow. So yes, it's the skin does have an impact on blood pressure.
Wow.
It's about the environment that we're in.
So important. Yeah, oh, absolutely crazy. I mean, it's just made me think of when we consult our clients, it's ever more important to find out what they're doing majority of a daily basis. So what their occupation is, especially like us as therapists, this is us. We're like vampires. We're in, you know, dark rooms with no oxygen, windows aren't open. If anything, it's artificial. So that makes so much sense.
Absolutely. Shopping. Yeah, absolutely. We are. We get out, we work so long, we get out and it's dark, and yeah, our lives are, we should be a little rolling balls of stress, actually.
We are. And then hearing about the client stress makes us stressed. I'm wondering, is there a connection between menopause and stress on the skin?
Yes.
Great.
There is a huge, huge correlation there. So during menopause, we have lower levels of estrogen. Like you said before, we have increased testosterone and things like that. So, you know, what happens with this, when we have our estrogen levels that drop, estrogen actually has a huge influence over the production of lamella.
Right.
So lamella is part of the fat barrier that creates our barrier defense. You know, we've got also oil from the sebaceite. So, you know, if you've got a change with your estrogen levels, then you have less lamella being produced. So you have kind of 50% of your fat not being secreted to the Barry function. And then you have the oil that's going to be secreted because often you have increased testosterone. So you end up with this dry skin that has this oil that's sitting on the surface of the skin. And then the other thing that kind of happens with menopause as well is you have this change in progesterone and estrogen. So they need to be balanced. And if they become imbalanced in any way, then you'll have an increase in the insulin that regulates through your body. So then, of course, we see glycation, we see aging of the skin. So estrogen and progesterone together help to balance the amount of insulin circulation through our bodies. So that change has a huge impact on how we're going to, how fast we're going to age as well. So a change to the hormones has a huge correlation to how the skin is going to be affected through menopause. Because menopause, most of the time, we have that decline in estrogen, we have that elevation of testosterone. So we have people have drier skins, you know, then they tend to get postmenopausal acne, they get pigmentation changes. People that have never had pigmentation in their life go through menopause and all of a sudden, help, I've got this pigmentation that's creeping up on me. And that's again a hormonal change, you know, with cortisol levels also increase through menopause.
Right.
So it depends on how they handle it with, you know, hot flushes and things like that, the thermal reaction that happens in the body, that's all going to have a huge impact.
Oh, we've got it good as women, don't we? We go through the period phase and then we go through the pregnancy phase and then we've got menopause.
And you're looking radiant, I must say.
Oh, thank you.
No one else can, but you're looking absolutely beautiful and radiant.
So kind of you. Gay, I'm wondering, are there any ingredients, both internal or external, that can actually be used to manage cortisol levels and stress within the body?
Absolutely. So we've got to have a look at melatonin and serotonin here. So again, you know, your sleep is really heavily disrupted when we have stressful levels. So melatonin is probably something, it's prescribed. You can buy sort of chemist type ones or health foods type ones, but they don't have a lot of percentage of melatonin in them. But I think I've heard not recently that you will be able to buy it over the counter soon. So melatonin is probably something that I really always recommend that they talk to their doctor about that and get some to actually help them rest, to help the body sleep so they can continue to make serotonin, because without that we don't get serotonin. And when we get older, the melatonin and serotonin is made in the gut. So, you know, if we've got those changes in our body, again, that will have an impact on that. B-complex is something like, they play a huge role in metabolism by transforming the food you eat, which is usable for energy that we eat. And they're also very healthy for the brain and the heart. And then there's magnesium. Magnesium increases GABA. So when we have GABA that's not, you know, regulating through our bodies, we get this, you know, tense, we want to strangle someone. So, you know, magnesium helps to increase the GABA, which encourages us to relax. And then there's zinc. Zinc plays a huge part in modulating the brain and the body's response to stress. And, you know, we're all probably deficient in both magnesium and zinc. There's an ingredient that is a rhodiola rosea. It's a natural non-toxic herb, and that stimulates your body's stress responses. So it's spelled, if you just R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A, new word, O-R-S-E-A. So it's something probably to really look for. And rosemary is also one. You'd never think rosemary, but it showed it's one of the strongest protective effects against inflammation and oxidation within our body. Oh. And then there's spices like turmeric and cloves and ginger that are also very good. Resveratrol is excellent. It reduces inflammation. Fish oils, obviously our good old essential fatty acids, spirulina, and then vitamin D. So, you know, especially with people that get chronic fatigue from, you know, if it is caused by stress, then vitamin D. But then again, we've got to be careful of the amounts that we actually take with that as well, because, you know, you can only take a certain amount. If you take too much of that, it has an adverse reaction. So there's some things, and apart from that, just eating healthy, trying to stay away from sugars. Like, sugars are probably the worst thing for us, and how do we eliminate that. You try. It's really difficult. You just have to eat a piece of lettuce and a tomato. Basically, it's very difficult. Yeah, okay.
So all of those kind of barrier healing, very kind of defensive fighting and immunity and low inflammation ingredients are what we're after. Stay away from things like chalky, high sugars and caffeine. Caffeine's one that when we're stressed, and we want more energy to get us through to the next thing, we generally drink more coffee.
Absolutely. And the V drinks, and that's internally. Then when we're looking at topically, we need to think about some of the peptides that are in our actives and some of the, again, essential fatty acids that are in it, linoleic and linoleic acids and things like that. And we also need to think about antioxidants, like, your poor little immune cells that are in your skin, they're just screaming out, please help me, help me. So, they just want those antioxidants. Your skin needs it. So we've got to look at all of that topically as well. So in times of stress, it's nothing for someone to really need 3 and 4 different types of antioxidants applied topically as well as what we're doing internally.
Amazing. Gay, I've stolen you away from your clinic and treating clients today. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with me on the podcast today.
Thank you, darling. Thank you for having me. I always love spending time with you, even if it's remote.
Oh my good Lord, I am feeling at least 20% smarter finishing the conversation with Gay than I did at the beginning. What an actual education powerhouse. So many takeaways from Gay today. You might even need to re-listen to this episode again just to start to absorb the information. If you're interested in learning more from Gay, then she has a number of ways that you can do so, from jumping into her online courses and traveling through the interactive information to actually visiting her in her brand new space on the Gold Coast for a 2-day shadowing session where you'll be hands-on in the room with Gay herself, watching and treating alongside her. What an absolute dream. Please let Gay know how much you've learned and loved this episode by sharing it across your social media stories while you're listening on the podcast or watching over on our YouTube by tagging her at Gay Wardle Education, myself at Tamara Shaw Reid, and lastly us at Beauté Industry. Be sure to keep letting me know what episodes and educational topics you want to hear about, and I will keep recording them for you. Until next time, stay connected.